I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind. And if any of the issues that you hear today sound like something you'd like to discuss with me, at the end of the show, I'll let you know how you can connect with me. We'd also really appreciate it if you would help others learn the tips that we share on Smashing the Plateau. So if you could share this episode with your colleagues and friends and leave a review on iTunes so others can find the show, that would be great. Ultimately, we want you and others like you to succeed in business and in life. That's what this show is all about. And we really appreciate your taking the time to listen. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Scott Messer. Scott is a previous guest on Smashing the Plateau. It's great to have you back, Scott. In Scott's background, in a snapshot, before starting Sales Evolution, his current company, Scott held various sales management, and executive positions at two turnarounds and three startups, helping those companies launch new products and services, establish sales territories, and more. So it sounds like really great hands-on experience, which is what entrepreneurs and executives need the most. After working at several companies selling technical products that he really knew little about, Scott discovered his unique ability, applying human nature in a comfortable sales process that quickly leads to yes and no decisions. 10 years later, his company, Sales Evolution, has grown into a prominent sales education and coaching company with 17 members, and in those years, he's worked with over 200 companies and thousands of individuals. His real bio is found on his LinkedIn profile and in the 65 client recommendations. Clients tell it better than he can. That's really such a great bio, great background, Scott. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, David. It's wonderful to be with you again. Thank you for inviting me.
So, as I said in the introduction, you have real hands-on experience, and I think that is just terrific. This is not about somebody who has spent a lot of time studying theory and is trying to figure out how to apply it. You were applying it, and then you discovered what you describe as your unique ability. And I wondered if we could start off by actually talking about that step, because I have a feeling that understanding your unique ability or your secret sauce is really the key to being able to smash a plateau.
It's an interesting point that I think a lot of people don't get, and that is we all have something about ourselves, and let's relate it to business because that is in large part the subject of today's talk, but we all have something about ourselves that is special to us. It's something that other people don't have the way we have it. And it was interesting listening to your intro about how many people study the theory and try to apply it, where my personal experience has been, I've been out there doing it and then figured it out looking back on it after the fact. And I took a course some years back, strategic coach Dan Sullivan, and he's the person who came up with the unique ability concept. And mine in particular is that applying the human nature to people in a sales process and getting them comfortable.
Yeah, Dan Sullivan is really a star at this, and it was a pleasure to have him as a guest on my podcast not that long ago. He's really done a great job with Strategic Coach, and as you've experienced firsthand and as many people have. So I wondered, so once you figure out the secret sauce, your unique ability, first of all, are there any tips you can offer about how we might be able to understand what that is for ourselves, whether we've spent a lot of time in the field doing as you have, or whether we have spent more time learning and a little bit less time doing? But how do you figure out what it is that is your unique ability and how to apply that to help you really catapult yourself forward in business? Because I suspect many people, and I can speak for myself, I find it really hard to understand what I'm good at, because for me it's easy. And so I tend to negate what comes easy to me, I think, well, it should be easy for everybody, but that's not true. Now, you and I were talking before we started the show about bookkeeping and how doing the books is hard for some people and easy for others, even though it seems like it should be easy for everybody, but it's not. So how do you find your unique ability and understand what you're really great at?
David, you said something very profound in there, which is what seems easy to us, we don't value much,
right.
Whereas others who struggle with that very same thing see immense and incredible value in it. Probably one of the best ways to identify your own unique ability is to survey and poll those around you that you're close to. What is special about you? Maybe with customers or clients. What do you bring that the other people don't bring? People that you're close to. And I think that you may be surprised at the answer. And in my own case, and in, by the way, Dan, and I'm hardly comparing myself to Dan, but in my field, with all the trainers and coaches, et cetera, we all have a cult following, every one of us. And we cannot listen to the compliments to the press, oh, you're the greatest, how did you know, all that sort of stuff. It's just what we're naturally good at, all of us. And I think that the people that you work with can tell you better than you can, because most people have an inner voice that talks to them about how they're not that good. Not everybody, but a lot of people. I do. And it's focusing on that which you are really great at that is probably the most reinforcing thing at all. Build up and work on your strengths. Let go of your weaknesses. Find other people whose unique abilities. Bookkeeping was the example that we talked about. They must sell a million copies of QuickBooks every year. So it's obviously a saleable product that can be learned and people can do it. But it's not my gift. If I spent mind share on that, if I spent, gosh, the amount of time that I would spend on it thinking about how I don't want to do it and then doing it poorly, it would drive me crazy. So I find people whose unique abilities support my lacks and have built a unique ability organization and support network around me. But know what you do well first and focus on getting better and better at that.
Right. Become an expert in one thing that you can essentially produce over and over again with many clients.
Yes. I think that's a fair way of describing it. Become an expert and never stop working on it. Sidney Crosby, arguably the best hockey player in the world. Every year, it said, he picks one aspect of his game to work on and improve. And you know what? He's already the best. And yet, this year it's face-offs. Next year, maybe it's a backhand shot. The year after that, maybe it's a slap shot. Maybe it's defense. I don't know. But even the best at their craft are always working to improve. Tiger Woods. Tiger, you're the greatest. You're the best. Somebody was interviewing. And he said simply, there's always something to work on. And he's right.
So then once you understand what your unique ability is and you start to complement your strengths with other people who have strengths in areas where you don't, how did you find that really transformed your business and catapulted things forward?
Oh, it's amazing. We can't do everything ourselves. As individuals, we can be good at some things, okay at other things, and we'll be poor at some others. Really, I think it starts with what kind of business do you want to run? Are you going to be a single shingle type operation where it's you and maybe one other person, two other people, and of course you'll have an accountant, et cetera? Or are you looking to actually build an organization that will survive you? I've chosen the latter course. They're both great. Not one is better than another, just two different paths to walk. So if you're going to bring people onto your team, they need to support what you don't do to start. And then once you build a complete organization where you've got these various areas of business covered, then you can duplicate where necessary. For example, sales. add more salespeople.
Right. So then once you've done that, how does it feel compared to where you were at the outset, where you were maybe struggling to find your unique ability?
David, in the beginning, it's a struggle, period. Let's start.
Let's be honest about it, right?
let's start there. What happens is your role in the business may change. And again, this is where you have an opportunity to shift your focus or maintain your focus. For example, as Sales Evolution just hit our 10-year anniversary last month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, now I've got 7 people on the team, people in different roles, and I've given everybody on the team an exercise. If you were starting Sales Evolution today, as it is, starting out with a white piece of paper, what's the organization that you would design? Who would be in what seat on this bus? Fast forward 3 years. What's the company look like then? Who have we added, et cetera? I know for myself, I belong on the sales side more and on the operational and executive side less. Can I do that stuff? Sure. I've done it. I'm doing it now. But is that my gift? No. So as the organization changes, you've got to change with it. I think most companies grow haphazardly. You add a person, you add a couple people, et cetera, and you wake up one day and you go, oh, we've got 10 people. Is this the way we should be structured? And so you've got to be present and conscious and always looking at what you're doing now. Does that get you where you're trying to get to in the future?
Scott, I'm also fascinated by your boldness and willingness to ask your 7 team members for their advice on how to structure the company 3 years from now. I don't know that a lot of CEOs would necessarily do that.
Their collective genius is bigger than mine, and they will ultimately, and their future counterparts, be the ones running the company and working inside the company. I think their input and the things that they see are just incredibly valuable. I'm one person. There are many.
Did you learn anything that surprised you?
Not yet. A couple of them are still coming in, but I like the way they're thinking. And one benefit for me as the CEO is it allows me to see what roles they want to fill. That's pretty important. In the book Good to Great, Bosworth, we've all read it, I'm sure. It's first get the right people on the bus and then in the right seat. Well, I think people know what seat they need to be belong in better than anybody else. And this gives them an opportunity to say, what seat do they want to be in today? What seat do they want to be in 3 years from now?
And I would suspect that it does a lot for team engagement as well.
Certainly. Look, here we go. One of the questions that I pondered for a long time, and one that I thought about before our chat today, is what really creates a great organization? And I boiled it down to one word, and that is integrity. Because when leadership behaves with integrity, and integrity is simply honoring the commitments that you make, honoring your word. To me, that's integrity, showing up on time. And while integrity has a price tag, the price tag does not determine whether or not you should behave with integrity. You should always, of course, behave with integrity. But you don't say, well, I'll exhibit integrity because the return on investment in this case is good. I'm not going to show integrity because it's going to cost me money over there. You either have it or you don't. And when you lead with integrity, it creates a tremendous amount of trust and belief inside your team. Yeah. We had a pipeline call this morning, for example, David, and we recently gave people permission to clean up their pipeline, and they did. And they had the confidence to know that whether they came in with one opportunity or 10 opportunities, all we're interested in is what is real. And there's no penalty for being truthful. I don't know if I'm describing it well, but I don't think that there's a lot of trust in a lot of companies, management, by their employees. we work with sales teams inside bigger companies. That's the nature of our business. And it's tough to see sometimes what's going on in there. And I just think that for your mid-level managers that are listening, for your entrepreneurs that are listening, for people that are thinking about going into business for themselves, you start with integrity and everything else will come.
Yeah, that creating a culture where there's no penalty for being truthful is very powerful. And I think many people struggle with how to do that. I mean, I've certainly seen that with a number of the people that we serve where they would like to create that kind of atmosphere, but they struggle with it, and they struggle with getting their team members to feel comfortable being truthful.
Yeah, it's something that happens over time. There's not usually, at least, not a magic act that happens to create it. It starts out, I think, with abandoning your ego. As we often coach people in sales situations, do you want to be right or do you want to get what you want? You can only pick one. Which one is it? Because oftentimes our emotions get in the way. And I was on a call this morning with someone, very same issue. And at the end of the day, I think we want what we want more than being right if we're given a choice. And that comes to leaders. Does it have to be done our way, or does it have to be done satisfactorily for the client or customer or the prospect? Does it have to be done exactly how we would do it, or, heaven forbid, maybe somebody actually has a better idea than we do, but because we keep such a tight grip on control, we don't let them.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Let it go. That's as much as I can say about it.
Yeah, I would say one of the limiting beliefs that I see over and over again with companies that are trying to grow is the issue of letting go of control. Because the more you try to hold on to control, the harder it is for your team members to step out of their comfort zone and take calculated risks that will help your company move forward.
You know, there's a couple of words, I think, that if the audience will banish from their vocabulary and substitute these other two words, it will make their jobs as leaders much easier. And the two words to banish are if only. If only is negative, it's backwards looking, it's not solution oriented, whereas the words next time or this time even is forward looking, it's solution oriented. We're not punishing anyone for the past. I love well thought out mistakes. A well thought out mistake is fantastic. We can learn from that. I'm not talking about careless mistakes, okay? But how do we improve? You know, at the end of a lot of our coaching calls with clients where we coach into a big win, we'll say to them, okay, great job. Here's what I want you to do next time. Not because they didn't run a great sales campaign and win the deal, but because there's another level and another level and another level. You know, the show Smashing the Plateau, the implication is that there's another higher level, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And everyone that I speak to says the same thing. I may be at one point now, but I want to get to another point in the future. And the point I want to get to in the future is at a higher level.
And our work is about helping people unlock and unblock their heads to let go of these things that are holding them back. It just happens to be in a sales scenario, but allows them to take it to the next level and the next level and the next level. My own personal motto, I don't want to be better than anybody else. I just want to be better than me.
Yeah, that's a great motto. Scott, if you could share one tip around the mindset issues that we've been talking about, particularly as they relate to your specialty, which is sales, what would that tip be?
Gosh. All right, I'll do my best. I would say stop trying to close deals and start collecting decisions. And here's what I mean by that. When people are emotionally and economically involved in a business development scenario, they are inward looking, inward focused. I need this deal. I need this commission. I've got a payroll to make. Hey, we've all been there. Okay, I get it. But the prospect, the customer, is only thinking about their issues. They're not thinking about ours. And as long as we are not totally and completely laser focused on the outcome that they seek, what they see as a win and their gain, even if it means raising your hand before they do and say, you know what, this really isn't a good fit, I recommend that you talk to somebody else. It's about collecting decisions, putting people through the process, non-emotionally, non-judgmentally, but making sure that you collect a decision on every call. To me, that's the magic. And it takes a while for most people to learn how to do it. But when you get there, wow, it's a beautiful thing.
Right, because I would imagine what it means is at the end of a discussion with a leader or a prospect, you're not leaving things hanging. There is some decision about what's next, whether it's a sale for the seller or not.
Yes, exactly. There, and without going into it too much, the way we define the difference between a suspect and a prospect at Sales Evolution, David, is at the point someone agrees to engage in a mutual process to figure out whether or not you can do business together, that's when they move from suspect to prospect. And at that point, you build your roadmap, what we call a reverse timeline, with milestones along the way. And we just move from milestone to milestone. And at the end of each one, ask the question, would you like to move on to the next one, or is it over? We're collecting a decision. Do we go to the next stage, or are we done here? And when we get to the end, they have one more decision to make, move forward, or it's over. Usually, if you get that far, it is an affirmative decision. It takes all the pressure of closing off of both of you and allows them to feel like they're in control, when in reality, the business developer, the entrepreneur, is in control because the process has an end. It's mutual. It's collaborative. And the focus is entirely on the outcome that they seek.
And it sounds also like it's very much a partnership process as opposed to an adversarial process.
Yes, it's very much a cooperative, collaborative process. And by the way, not everybody is willing to play. Do they qualify for you? You get to pick. See, that's another aspect of the mental game. You qualify for everybody. Everybody doesn't qualify for you. And we've got to find best fit prospects, best fit opportunities. And you can do that and force people out of your pipeline or just decide they're not qualified if you're operating in a prospect-rich environment. And in reality, we all are. Even though most salespeople don't feel that they have enough opportunity, that's a whole other issue. They've got it. They're just not effective at generating it.
Scott, that's very powerful. So thank you for sharing that. Scott, whom do you know personally who has been successful at smashing plateaus?
Gosh, on a macro level, I will say that we have so many students that are in or have been through our program, business owners, CEOs, who have really changed their mindset when it comes to business development and just blown it out and crushed their numbers and have really set themselves free. That's on the big macro level, but I think your question is more, who's my inspiration? Is that a fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I read a lot, and when it comes to sales material, business development material, the body of work, David, is vast, it's deep, and it's phenomenal. And I'm always amused when I read someone who thinks like I do, which, by the way, is my definition of a genius.
Sounds good.
But the point is that these are not original thoughts. There's not too much original thinking when it comes to sales. And even with the different applications of it, there just isn't that much new, different, or original. It truly does come down to the application. So I encourage your audience to read their LinkedIn feeds. There's a ton of stuff out there. There's always people promoting sales webinars at little or no cost. If you go online and do a search of top sales articles, you can get a phenomenal amount of material that's great to read. If anybody is interested, we have a weekly publication we call the Monday Morning Drill. At the end of it, I know you'll give the contact information, but if anybody would like to subscribe to the Monday Morning Drill, it's no charge. It's a short read. Scott@salesevolution.com. Send me a note. Happy to add you to the list. Glad to promote sales education to anybody. The point is that it's out there. There are devotees of any number of different people. Pick one. Pick a method. Anyone. You'll be better off than where you are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pick a method that resonates with you and follow it.
Exactly.
So, Scott, how can listeners learn more about you in addition to sending you an email to sign up for your Monday Morning Drill?
David, I've got a LinkedIn profile, of course, Scott Messer. There are over, as you indicated, 60-plus client recommendations. I post a lot of stuff on LinkedIn, a lot of articles. So if anybody would like to link, they'll get access to information. We've got a tremendous amount of programming. There's some YouTube video out there, again, Scott Messer, and salesevolution.com, the website.
That's great.
We offer webinars, all kinds of publications and information.
So, Scott, in addition to emailing you so that listeners can get the Monday Morning Drill, how can listeners learn more about you and what you're up to? And also, tell us a little bit about what may be coming up in the near future. We talked about you just celebrating 10 years in your business. So tell us a little bit more about what's coming up and then how listeners can learn more about you and what you're doing.
Well, one thing that's coming up, David, we're very proud that we're doing a joint program with Drexel University in Philadelphia, their Goodwin School, where we're going to be teaching a 13-week sales course that Drexel is promoting. So we're pretty pumped up about that.
That's pretty exciting.
Most definitely. And as far as more information on Sales Evolution, well, I love to link with salespeople. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, send me a note to link. We publish a lot of great material that will show up in your LinkedIn feed. Not to mention, if you go on to the website, we've got a lot of content there, a YouTube channel. People often ask, what's the greatest sales book you've ever read? Well, I'd have to say it's called The Outcome. It's available at Amazon and I believe the Apple Store, etc. Kindle. It was written by David Douglas Light. Douglas has two S's at the end, and myself. It's a novel, not another how-to book. So it's actually a pretty interesting read, if I must say. And gosh, there's so much good material out there. Again, our stuff, other people's stuff. I just encourage people that are selling to recognize that sales is a profession, just like medicine, law, plumbing, and you better be great at your craft. And we're happy to help you do it any way we can.
I was going to say also, it's a very important profession for any entrepreneur or executive, whether you have other people as part of your organization whose primary responsibility is sales or not. If you're the CEO, you're an entrepreneur, or you're a senior executive, you're responsible for selling too.
You've got that right. One of the things we say to our startup clients, we've got any number of them, Tom, your genius is not enough. You got to sell it. And I think that's a very apt and true statement.
That's great. We'll include those in the show notes. And I'm glad that you have come back on Smashing the Plateau so we could do a deeper dive than we did the last time on some of these issues around how you personally have smashed the plateau. I love what we talked about with regard to understanding your unique ability and then building a great team around you. Those are real great nuggets and very important for our listeners. So thanks so much for coming back. My guest today has been Scott Messer, CEO of Sales Evolution. Thank you again, Scott, for joining us.
Thank you, David. It was wonderful speaking with you again.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.